This is Wyman and Bob
on Seattle Sports, powered through the Alaska Airlines Studio.
Streaming live on the Seattle Sports app and at seattlesports.com.
Now, here are your hosts, Dave Wyman and Bob Stelton.
We continue live from the Mariners complex out here in Peoria, Arizona. Spring training well underway. It's Wyman and Bob, Seattle Sports on 710. By the way, our coverage of Mariners spring training is presented by Alaska Airlines and Kitsap Credit Union. Coming up in maybe about 10 minutes, we're going to be speaking with Harry Ford, Sir Harry Ford.
Was that official? Was he knighted?
I don't know that it's official. We'll ask him.
He had to bow in front of, I don't know, who puts the sword on the shoulder.
Is it queen, right?
Is it the queen? That's what I was going to say. Well, but
there is no queen anymore, right?
So who does?
The queen. Apparently we don't know very much about Great Britain.
Harry Ford.
This is when you need to get Stacey on the show. She's up on the Royals.
That's right.
She can speak to all that. But in case you guys are just tuning in, we had a great guy, Cooper Hummel, a Portland native, a Pacific Northwest guy who grew up a hardcore Mariner fan, talked about his walls being painted with navy blue and having the Seahawks logo painted on his wall and all these autographs from Ichiro and all that. He's talking about, I still got to get Cammy to sign something. He's still a kid. He's still that fan. To hear a major leaguer that is that excited about being a part of this team is infectious and just really, really charming and cool to hear.
It's like he was a high school kid or something. I mean, he looks very young, but I think he's 27. He was just so excited to be a Mariner, man. It was just awesome to sit there and talk to him. And, yeah, he had a nice day today. I mean, we saw him make a, like you said, he looked pretty fast running that fly ball down in right field and then hit one out. He's got four home runs in spring training so far. And, yeah, it's not a guy that we've really talked about a lot, but he's really emerged in this process of going through spring training. And what a great story.
Well, and I think people forget, I mean, he's the guy you got in return for Kyle Lewis.
That's right.
Traded Kyle Lewis in the offseason to the Arizona Diamondbacks in exchange for Cooper Hummel, who seems to be a man of many positions. And again, if you're just tuning in and you missed that conversation, we'll have it on the podcast page after the show at seattlesports.com. But I asked him, I think, did you already have a first base mitt? And he said, I've got a mitt for every position. He's got a bag full of mitts. So he's got multiple catcher mitts. He's got a first base. Third. He's ready. He's ready. You throw him in, and he looks like he's eager to play wherever they, as long as he's in the lineup, done.
Yeah.
I'm sure he'd pitch if you asked him to.
Well, and the good thing is, you know, he's like, hey, look, mostly the bat.
Yeah.
Right? So nice to have him there. And, you know, he's got a bag full of goodies ready to play anywhere. I've never seen anybody so fired up. I really haven't. I mean, this is
that was cool.
Really cool.
That was very cool to see that. I mean, that was very sincere and genuine. And he's, you know, just, you know, the idea of, you know, having a hero like Ichiro, that's his favorite player. And he's popping off of stats, 262 hits in one season, a career 300 whatever average, you know, and now he's out there working with him.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just amazing and a very cool story. So, yeah, that's we'll be talking to these guys throughout the week. We're out here all week. Pretty nice day out today, a little overcast, but, you know, low 70s, and they're expecting a little rain the next couple of days. We'll see. The Mariners have the day off, so there'll be no game tomorrow. But, you know, just being around here for the short time we've been here, it's very cool. Everybody's very relaxed, and everybody seems very just, you know, the players excited. There's you know, we talked to Greg Amsinger last week, and he talked about they had been to 9 different camps.
Right.
And he said, without question, this had the best vibe. Now, what his definition of vibe is, I don't know. But, you know, he said he and his partner that he was with agreed without debate, best vibe. And just being out here for this short amount of time, hard to disagree.
It's incredible. Well, and they treat us so well. I mean, first of all, Alex Mayer and Adam Greshkitness, all of these, you know, all the players that we're going to get, and we're going to get talk to Harry Ford here in a second. But yeah, it's really a different feeling. I mean, I haven't been here since what we were going to come down in 2020 is when the whole pandemic hit. Bob and I had our whole Step Brothers routine there worked out. I had my Mountain Dew T-shirt, and Bob had his Pablo Cruz T-shirt.
The Schmedium.
We were going to get bunk beds, and that all went to to hell. So here we are in 2023, and yeah, it's just a totally different feeling. You know, I remember back then the talk was about the farm system and how they'd rebuilt it, and now we're seeing the effects of that, and it's very cool. But yeah, it's I mean, everybody's so willing to talk, and it's like they're excited to talk. Like one of the questions was, "What do you want to talk about?" Like you asked Jerry that.
And yeah, what have you been asked?
Yeah, and man, it was unbelievable how forthright he was with mm-hmm. With all the information and how much they love talking about this team.
Yeah, that'll just a programming note. We've got conversations with Scott Service, Jerry DePoto, Logan Gilbert. All those will be coming up this week, and really good stuff out of everybody. I mean, it is a much more relaxed atmosphere. It's not, you know, I got to get in, got to get out. It's post game. I got to get home and eat. You know, got a game tomorrow. It is a different, completely different vibe, and yeah. It's cool to talk to him on this kind of level, because it isn't that urgency. It isn't that the guard's down, I guess you could say, yeah. is how it feels.
Well, the other thing, too, is after the interviews, and I remember this was one guy, Shed Long. He was really good. Like, he would sit after the interview during the break and sit there and BS with you and talk to you. We had that with Cooper Hummel. We had it with Logan Gilbert. I mean,
Jerry, we talked to for
Jerry,
quite a while.
Yeah, I mean, Scott was in a huge hurry, obviously, because he was having to coach a game, but yeah, it's really a different atmosphere. It's very relaxed, like you said. I think there's an expectation that, yeah, we're going to win. It's just a matter of how far we go on.
Well, and you heard Cooper say it there. He says, this is a contender. This is a team not just in the AL West. This is a legit contender that he's a part of now. So that's, you know, yeah, he's a fan, but he's coming from the outside. And it's kind of funny to hear, you know, at the time he's a member of the Arizona Diamondbacks, and how excited he was that the Mariners got to the postseason and win a postseason series. That he's, yeah, go Mariners. This another major leaguer on another team feeling that way is pretty cool.
Well, considering he had pretty much every piece of Mariner paraphernalia you can have.
Beer steins and garbage cans and everything. So yeah.
They were all for show, though.
Yeah.
Because
yeah,
he wasn't 21.
Yeah. But very, very cool. And you know, went to, we've seen a couple games so far, saw the game today, went out there, and it's interesting. You see some starters, you know, they mix it up a bit. You know, some starters are playing, some aren't playing. Then you see the guys in the jerseys with no name on the back in a very high number, like number 89. And you're looking at the scoreboard trying to figure out, all right, who's this guy and who's this guy? And, you know, just getting a sense of what some of these guys in the future may look like for this team. But right now they're kind of the nameless guy. You know, everybody's scrambling in the press box looking at their roster going, all right, now who is this again? Mm-hmm. You know, because there's so many players out here, and all these fields, we're in the middle of four fields. They're all occupied by different levels of the organization. You know, there's high A, there's single A, there's double A, and they're all out here in similar uniforms. You're trying to figure out, all right, now who's that over there?
Yeah.
What number is that? Who would they play? You know, so it's,
well, and on the
field,
a lot on the field behind us. Did we figure out what's going on over there?
It's
like a double A team.
I don't think we did. I don't think we, because I was asking members of the Mariners organization, like, now who is this over here playing? And they're like, I'm not really sure. That could be high A.
Yeah.
And then the team they're playing isn't. It might have been a Canadian team, I think they said. So yeah, it is such a different environment. But if you're a baseball fan, I don't know how you beat it. I don't. This is. The coolest thing in the world is a hardcore baseball fan just seeing something like this and being around it and getting a chance to see guys you're familiar with and guys who will be coming up at some point, hopefully, mm-hmm. and watching them work. We're watching Ichiro out here in full uniform doing a stretching routine every day, and he's going through like he's playing, you know?
Yeah,
he's
just like when he was a player.
Yeah.
Exactly. So, yeah, it's very – I mean, I think Cooper Hummel kind of – sort of put a wrap on what the feeling is like here. And then for those that don't know, I don't know if we mentioned it, but he went to school at Lake Oswego, high school mm-hmm. down there, and wanted to go to Oregon State, had offers to go other places, but he's a Portland guy and grew up with just all of this Mariner paraphernalia and rooting for him and all that stuff. So, yeah, he kind of encapsulates the feeling here of, you know, that they expect to win, and it's very obvious here, and just such a different. I mean, I know it was a long time ago, but 2019 is the last time I was down here anyway, and there wasn't nearly that vibe at that point.
Yeah, it is different. There is expectation. There is, you know, anticipation. It's just a general excitement and belief going on out here. And you know, we come out here with ideas. Hey, I want to see what Jared Kelnick looks like. I want to see what J.P. Crawford looks like. You know, for different reasons, you're looking at, you know, specifics. And part of it is you're always wrestling with the old, you know, it's spring. The old qualifier, it's spring. You don't get too excited if a guy's killing it or if a guy's struggling. You're not buying into the numbers too much. And we talked to Jerry and Scott about that and get their take on it. Like, hey, are there certain guys you take it more seriously if they're succeeding or struggling? And, you know, it was interesting to get their takes on that. You know, just it's so easy just to dismiss all of spring. Go, yeah, talk to me when it's a real game. Talk to me when the regular season starts. And that's true, obviously. But I do believe that, you know, there's a lot of things that happen here that can give you maybe a bit of a – it could be a bit of a precursor as to what you might see in the regular season.
Well, the amazing thing to me, and we brought this up with Jerry, which we'll hear later, but as far as Robbie Ray being one of the big stories coming out of this camp and how sharp he is and working on new pitches, he was a Cy Young winner 2 years ago, and now you're talking about the jump that he's made. I mean, that's pretty incredible to me. And, you know, just the rotation, the depth that they have in their pitching. You know, we'll see how the whole bullpen sort of filters out, but right now it just looks so good. I mean, we haven't even talked about Luis Castillo that much. Mm-hmm. And, you know, so, yeah, the fact that it's Jared Kelnick, and look, I mean, as far as his spring goes and counting that, I don't think he's ever had consistently, you know, what he's had here in spring, in previous spring trainings. That just hasn't happened. You see flashes here and there, and that was the case with him, you know, when they brought him up a couple of times, but there's never been that sustained, and that's what I'm looking at, you know, for spring training, the sustained success that he's able to put, you know, one after the other after the other. He's stacking good performances, Bob.
Like that one, Mike? I did, and yeah. I have to say, Harry Ford is busy being knighted. So we have to slide him to 4:30.
Okay. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
So there was some, you know, discussion, and he's like, well, I better go figure out how to get knighted properly. So, yeah, Harry Ford will be at 4:30.
We had somebody giving us a hard time say, you knew that the queen did it, but you don't know what happens after she's gone. And they said, perhaps it's the king. I don't know. All right, maybe.
What?
I'll
for
go
a,
with them.
For a moment, I forgot we had a text line, and it was glorious. But
yeah. Oh,
I just remembered.
Just set you up
Mike.
Mean text.
Oh, no.
Mike
go.
Is getting after the texters.
There you go. Thumb taking shots at the texters right at the gate. 866-979-3776, powered by Mac and Jack's Brewing Company.
Yeah. Lefko says they're all high. He said that under his breath to me.
Yeah, I did, right. I said, Dave, pass that along. Say that on air for me.
Yeah, yeah. And then somebody was asking you, Dave, they said, how much are the beers there, or can you just bring your own cooler?
I don't know why they think you would know. Cooler in there. I don't know either. I think it was like, with tip, it was like $18, but it was a big one.
It was a big one. Yeah. Dave's just walking around the complex with a giant cooler in tow. It's got wheels on it. He's just throwing beers to the players coming out the field and the fans out there. He's a man of the people out here, like the mayor.
I'll tell you what. Yeah, well, that's how you become man of the people. You start throwing beers out there. But, as far as the fans, I mean, I know for the last few years, obviously 20, there was nobody, but they're starting to come back in force. And, you know, why wouldn't they? I mean, the Mariners are contenders, just like Cooper Hummel told us. But, yeah, it's been a good crowd, you know, yesterday and today. And weather is not, like, the greatest, but it's not raining, and it's fairly warm.
You're in shorts. Somebody pointed out that, you know, as opposed to Brock and Salk, who are out here in parkas and knit hats, you're in shorts and a T-shirt. I've got a T-shirt and thumbs over there and a T-shirt. By the way, somebody said, speaking of Purdue.
Oh, don't bring up Purdue.
There you go. See, you asked for it, Mike.
I know. I was hoping that by the time, you know, that loss happened, we got through the weekend, we're here. It's only forward. We're looking at baseball, and we're not even focused on whatever happened in the NCAA tournament.
Whatever that college basketball shindig is.
Yeah, whatever. Bob's actually doing well. Bob's in first in our bracket competition.
How about that? Yeah. Hey, I'm just proud that somebody on this show didn't pick Purdue to win the whole thing. But, you know, Mike, you were walking out the other day, and I was like, I was going to mess with him. And I was like, no.
He looked distraught.
I think he might turn and swing on me.
He looked distraught. Yeah. He was very out of sorts. Yeah. But, yeah, none of us, even he didn't pick Purdue past that game. So
that's true.
You can't rib him too badly. He wasn't a maniac fan who thought they were going to win it all. He had them losing the very next game. So
yeah, to Memphis, right?
Yeah, yeah. You're off by one game. So, and I went with my theory of the less I know about it, the better I do. And I told you, I filled out my bracket in literally like 2 minutes. Like I went click, 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 click. Just went through it. And
Bob, what are you doing? Well, why would you? You're supposed to say what a genius you are. You're in first place, man.
Got to be honest with the listeners out here. They don't hear me waxing poetic about Houston. I've never mentioned that school before this tournament, but that's my pick, and we'll see what happens.
Oh, you had Houston winning it?
Yeah, because I had to fill out two different ones.
One for our promotions
right. department, and I guess they want me to fill out one for the Sweet 16, I guess.
Well, one you did was Marquette, right?
That was the one for the promotion department, but the one that – all of us, that you, me, Brock, Salk, Bump, Stacy, all those people are, I've got Houston in.
I just know that anybody else, Stacy, would especially be like, yeah, I picked all of those because I'm a genius and, you know, I did all the research and everything. I have a buddy whose wife he said she watched one game this year, and I guess she's 100% right now. She's like, picked every single one so far.
Holy mackerel.
Yeah. So.
Wow.
To your point, Bob, you know, don't watch college basketball.
Well, we even had Tim Brando on, who knows more about college hoops than anybody I've ever met in my life. And he talked about, you know, his bracket's destroyed at this point. And, you know, it's not even worth talking about. And years when I worked with him, it was the same story. Now, he talked about some times that he'd won, but I remember working with him, and he'd be the guy you go to, hey, tell me about Memphis, or tell me about this school, tell me about what do they do, how do you see this matchup? He'd give you the most detailed breakdown. You couldn't ask for a more intricate breakdown of the game, and then you'd look at his bracket, and it was like, you ever watch college basketball?
Yeah.
are you new to the sport? You know? So, yeah, the more you know, the more you get in your own way.
I hear you. 360 wants to know if you picked your bracket after a darkness retreat.
Yes. I was with Aaron. We conversed. We got together and came to a consensus, first of all, on his career and where he wanted to play, and then who I was going to pick in my bracket.
Great.
Yeah, he's very helpful that way.
How awesome has this been, though? Like, I get here yesterday. You guys are already at the game. And it's like, what, 100 yards to walk over there, watch spring training. The stands are full. Everybody's out on the berm. Like I said, it's not great weather, but it's plenty warm. And, yeah, it's just you got a good team out there. And just this is such a cool experience down here. And, for people going forward that didn't make the trip down here, I have a buddy that's down here, going to try to get together with him. He drove down, and he spends like 2 weeks down here at spring training just going around to the different places watching the games.
But is that a yearly thing for him?
I don't know if he does it every year because before the pandemic, I'm not sure, but this is a great trip for people. You see a lot of people from up in Seattle. We have people telling us hello. They listen to our show. Of course they do. Every day. And, yeah, so it's a really good trip down here. I think, you know, for Mariner fans, what a great destination. Good places to eat. I got an awesome chauffeur driving us around, Mike Lefko.
I was like, wait, that's me.
In the world's largest vehicle, which when we picked it up from the airport, just figuring out how to put it in drive was a challenge.
Oh, God.
It doesn't have any sort of a shift,
no
anything
stick.
You put your hand on, any lever on the steering wheel column. Literally, there are buttons that are next to where you turn the heater on and off.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what they look like next to the GPS screen and everything. It looks like the heater buttons, but you figure out, those you just push those buttons or you pull them or something to figure out how to.
Yeah, I had a similar complaint about filling out my brackets. Like, can we just go back to paper and pencil, please? All these different. I submitted a bracket that I didn't even want to.
You picked a winner you didn't really want to pick.
Yeah. So yeah, I mean the car thing, but yeah, great trip down here. I mean for anyone that's looking for, especially it's not necessary. I mean the games, and that's the other thing. Brock told us this when Brock and Salk were down here, that when you go to the games, the whole pitch clock and the hurried pace and everything does not come through at all.
No.
Not at all. So being at the game. So I think, we have games. Well, I have complained about that because I feel like I'm getting robbed out of many hours. No, JP would tell me that waiting. I wished there had been more waiting today. But no, it really doesn't come through at all. It doesn't feel like they're trying to hurry through the game and get it over with or anything like that.
All right. Well, we are out here. It's a beautiful day out here. Lots going on. Mariners wrapping up the game for the day, and we get a chance coming up to speak to the Mariners' top prospect, Harry Ford, or is it Sir Harry Ford? We'll get clarity on that when he joins us next. Live from Peoria, Arizona, it's Wyman and Bob. This is Seattle Sports on 710.
Wyman and Bob.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studio.
On Seattle Sports and the Seattle Sports app.
We continue live from the Mariners complex here in Peoria, Arizona. It's Wyman and Bob, Seattle Sports on 710. A reminder, our coverage of Mariners spring training is presented by Alaska Airlines and Kitsap Credit Union. We are expecting to speak with Harry Ford here momentarily as you got some of the minor leaguers walking off, the other fielders walking off the field into the clubhouse here. And it's cool to see all of these guys out here doing their thing. You got some. We got the field next to us with no scoreboard, no markers on the fences to tell us, you know, how far away it is, how deep it is, or any of that. So it's interesting to watch all these guys out here playing their games and everything. We get a chance to speak to the Mariners' top prospect. It's got to be cool to be the top prospect, don't you think?
Yeah, it's always good to be on top, Bob.
It's always good to be number one, and he's joining us right now. Mariners' top prospect, Harry Ford, or is it Sir Harry Ford?
I don't know. Whichever one you're going to call me.
Is that what they started calling you when you got back into the clubhouse?
Yeah, I get a lot of Prince Harry's, King Harry's, Sir Harry. A lot of prefixes, yeah.
That's pretty cool, though, right? Yeah. I mean, A, it speaks to the relationship you've got with those guys that they're having fun with you, but B, the show you put on in the WBC. That's congratulations.
Thank you.
How was it close to what you imagined or just surpassed everything you imagined? Give us a sense of what that was like.
It was, I don't know, it was a little more realistic than I imagined, like being in a real game and, like, you know, just being a competitor and stuff and not like in a fairy tale dream, sort of. Like, I in my head I kind of imagined it like like the Dream Team, like that they had, like Magic, Larry Bird, and all of them.
Jordan.
I kind of imagined like playing against that, but it didn't feel like that when I was there. It just felt like a real game. And yeah, but it was the coolest part was just seeing all the support from the fans and like and just all the people at the game and stuff and knowing how much it meant to people. It was dope.
Harry, tell us you were born in Atlanta, right? Mm-hmm. Both your parents are from Great Britain, but so tell us about you know, that your journey. Like, when did you start to fall in love with sports? Did you play any other sports growing up?
I've always been a baseball nerd, whatever. I just love baseball. I started playing, I was like three or something, and just always played. I tried other sports too. I played football, basketball, but I played football for like a week. I played basketball for like two seasons in high school, but I sucked. I scored 6 points my sophomore year.
The whole year. Hey, okay.
Basketball wasn't for me.
Now, football, you said a week. What happened there? You just like, all right, this is not for me.
I was young, and like they put me in the easy group, and it was really cool in the easy group. Then they moved me up to the older kids, and I got hit a couple times, and I was like, I don't want to do this.
I want to do the hitting.
Yeah, I want to hit the stuff. I want to hit the ball.
Well, you sure are handling everything great. I mean, you're only 20 years old, man. I mean, and now they're calling you Sir Harry and everything. I mean, your parents must be, you must have really good parents and a good support group.
Yes, great parents. My mom, Deborah Ford, and my dad, Alan, they're the best for me. They're my roots. You know, they always keep me grounded. And they're always checking on me and everything. So, it's to be somewhere like this. Always got to have, you know, those building blocks as parents. They're the best.
Yeah. Now, just back to the WBC for a moment. I guess the big moment for you was seeing Freddie Freeman out there.
Oh yeah, that was the craziest one for me. That was really.
And
cool.
And he knew who you were. He said
he did. I was kind of surprised. He was like, "What's up, Harry?" And I was like, "Whoa!"
You're like, "You're talking to me?"
Yeah, like I wanted to actually talk to him, but it was like, okay, I got to try to get you out, so like I can't like really talk. But it was really cool seeing him.
Because you grew up a big Braves fan, for people who may not know why Freddie Freeman meant that much to you.
Yes, yeah. Did. He was the first person I got a ball signed from when I was 8 years old. I saw him in spring training, and so it was pretty cool to see him on the field this time.
That's cool.
How's your spring going? Tell us what have been the highs and the lows, and you know how do you feel about it?
It's been awesome. I mean, I've like a lot of highs for sure. I mean, I've just been able to spend a lot of time with the team and getting to know them, and just learn from them. Really, like especially the catchers, I've learned a lot just from watching and talking to them. And it's seeing them in game. I mean, it's been really a blessing and a really good experience for me.
Now you talk about getting an autograph from Freddie Freeman. What's it like for you to have somebody come to you for autographs? Or is that kind of surreal? Like people that are excited to meet you, like Harry, can you sign this?
I've got a little more used to it now. It was weird for me last year for sure. Now it's okay, but I think like. The size of people now, it's a little weird, especially after WBC, is a little weird for me.
The crowd got bigger, you mean?
The crowd got bigger. Like today I was signing and I was looking around and I saw like a big crowd around me. I was like, whoa, this is a little weird. But, you know, it's I love signing. It's cool.
Who at camp here spring training is is really somebody that has helped you out, that you've kind of looked up to here?
So many of them helped me a lot, but I think the person I've probably looked up the most to has been Cal, I'd say. Yeah. You know, he's such a good catcher and a good dude too, and he's kind of does everything right, you know? And
he's only a few years older than you.
Yeah. Yeah, he is, but he's really good. So So probably Cal and also Murphy, Tom Murphy too. He's taught me a lot. He's talked to me a lot of conversations with him. So
you can get some weight room tips from him, man.
Oh yeah, he works out a lot. Yeah, he goes after it in there.
Now, are you a guy that asks a lot of questions? Or are you more of a sit back and watch kind of guy? How does that?
Oh, I'm very curious. Like I ask questions sometimes. I ask like weird questions because they pop up in my mind. But I'm also a big observer too. Like because you know your brain. For me, like your brain learns just as much as from watching someone doing it right than when you do it. And so whenever I see them, like the catchers doing stuff in early work or just catching bullpens and stuff, I just love watching just because, I mean, like you can't really ask them to explain how they do what they do. They just do it because they've been doing it for so long. Right. And so I love watching just how everything they do.
I was looking at your knuckles there, little beat up there.
Yeah.
You get beat up?
You know.
You get beat up playing catcher, right?
Yeah, yeah. This is from my glove. I just keep punching my glove, you know. I do get beat up. I got this finger's all messed up too from catching.
Yeah, tough duty, man.
It's fun though. Yeah, it's fun.
I like that.
Does this almost feel not a letdown? But you were playing in front of 40,000 people out there who are going bananas.
Mm-hmm.
It's a little more subdued here, smaller crowd. Did it feel weird coming back to this after the WBC?
No, not at all. It's just I'm just as long as it's baseball, I don't mind if it's 10 people or 10,000. No, like I mean, it was super cool getting to play in front of that crowd and like you know being there, but you know. As long as it's the game, it's fine.
Seems like the players just love the WBC, and you know people talk about a couple of the injuries that have happened, and you know would that carry on? But it seems like the players are really fired up about it, and they want to play for their home country.
Yeah.
Is that kind of how you feel?
Oh yeah, 100%. Like, I mean, just getting the chance to play like, and it's a different style of baseball, you know, because. Here, you know, when it's like spring training or just like the season, it's kind of like some games can feel like they don't count or something, and like they're just strolling along. But when it's only four games, you got to win every game. Hits doesn't really matter if you get a hit or not; it just matters how you win the game, you know.
Right.
So what?
And it's pride too, you know, pride for your country, pride for your teammates, everything.
Now, did they talk? Is it somebody from the organization, Jerry, or somebody before the WBC saying, "Please don't get hurt. Please be careful."
No, they didn't tell me anything. I'm sure it was on their mind, though.
Yeah,
because I had to catch every game, but they, I, no one said anything specifically.
Yeah, that, I mean, the injuries are the downside to it, but everything else about it looks phenomenal.
It happens. Happens in spring training games. Happens playing basketball, whatever.
Is it weird to be referred to as the top prospect? Does that bring any kind of pressure? Do you feel any of that with that kind of attention?
No, I don't really feel weird about it. It's cool to know. I don't really think about it much, though, but... You know, people call me what they want, so whatever.
Well, you seem very laid back. Now, is there like a different Harry Ford when game time starts? It doesn't seem like anything would piss you off, but what would
he's
that?
He's laughing. Going,
what would that side?
No, then laughing is kind of true. It's like, I don't really get mad too easily, but. Yeah, whenever I get into that mode, like, of baseball and, like, games on the line and stuff, like, yeah, I turn it on.
It's a different one. Yeah. Different person.
Yeah.
What do you do outside of baseball? Did I read something about you playing saxophone?
Yes, sir.
You're a music buff.
Yes. I love jazz music.
How long have you been playing?
Not too long. I played in middle school, then I stopped playing, and then my mom got me a saxophone last Christmas, so I started playing again.
Oh, okay.
And I had to play in front of the team.
Oh, you did?
A few weeks ago, yeah.
What do you mean you had to? Who made you do that?
Skip did. Mr. Service.
So he just said,
said we had to make a band. So we made a band. It was like me, Penn Murphy.
Penn plays guitar, right?
He plays good guitar. We had some other guys.
What song did you play?
You know the saxophone, the Mr. Sax guy? It's like... Da, 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 da. I forgot what it's called. But he, like, plays saxophone, he does like a dance with it.
Yeah.
Yeah, whatever.
Yeah. So that's what you guys did?
That was one of the songs. We played like four or five songs.
Okay.
Yeah, it was a concert.
How'd it go over? Everybody was into it?
Yeah, they loved it. It was fun.
That's cool.
Anybody record it? Can we see it anywhere on video?
Nah, I don't think anybody.
That's too bad.
Yeah, it would have been cool.
Well, hey, man, congrats on the WBC. That had to be amazing.
Thank
it was
you.
Fun to watch and cool to see you out here and just the reception you're getting. And as you talked about, the crowds growing around you, and I would imagine that's going to continue. So we wish you the best, and hopefully we're talking again in the future.
Yes, sir.
Thanks so much, man.
Thanks, Harry.
Appreciate
there you go.
It.
Harry Ford of your Seattle Mariners, or Sir Harry. He says they just call him whatever they want. He's mellow. He's fine with it. All right, coming up, KJ Wright is a fan of one guy that he feels the Seahawks would really, really be in a good position with. We'll talk about that when we sweep the dial, coming up with Wyman and Bob. This is Seattle Sports on 710.
Scanning the airwaves for the most interesting and entertaining stories of the day. Sweeping the dial every afternoon at 4:45 with Wyman and Bob.
Well, we're not going to talk much football today. It is day one for us down at spring training. We had a little bit of a short show, but we certainly will tomorrow because KJ Wright was on with Brock and Salk this morning. They were asking him about that number 5 pick. And KJ Wright mentioned two options, but then also mentioned one guy specifically. He does not want the Seahawks to draft.
And I'm not opposed to taking either one of them. I do believe that if we take either one of those guys, our football team is that much better. And so if you take Richardson, he's the quarterback of the future, and he is the guy that you can use throughout the season. You can put him in some wildcat situations. You can put him down there in the red zone, have him run some quarterback runs. It would be very fun and exciting to see this guy come to our football team. If you take Will Anderson, he is the guy that you could plug right in there, pair him with Chenna. And those two guys, Chenna and Will Anderson on the edge, will be fun to see as well. And so you honestly can't go wrong with either one of those guys. Just don't take Jalen Carter.
Ooh. Just wow. Don't take Jalen Carter. All right. GM has spoken. He was on the money when it came to the contract that Gino received. So I guess we got to defer to him. So just don't take him. But they talk about Anthony Richardson. It's amazing how much I'm going to be very interested to see where he goes, how high he goes. Yeah. Because like we talked about before the combine, Dave, looking at all those mock drafts I was looking at, sending you guys at very often toward the bottom of the first round. I saw some in the second round, and now anybody you talk to said he's not getting out of the top 10, maybe not out of the top 5. I'm like, really?
I just don't buy that it's because of what happened at the combine. I really don't. But, you know, maybe there are some teams that are that ridiculous about it. But like John Schneider told us, that you got to project where is the guy going to be. And maybe that's his problem, KJ's, with Jalen Carter, that he's projecting like this guy's not serious. He's not a serious football player. And, you know, the guy's got tons of talent, just incredibly loaded with, you know, everything you would want out of a defensive tackle. But apparently, I mean, it's pretty hard to get somebody, you know, to be that highly rated. We'll see how far he drops, but I don't know who's going to. And we don't even really know, other than the report that we had, what the issue is. Apparently it's immaturity, but, yeah, you know, bad decisions, pattern of bad decisions. We'll see. But, yeah, I wonder who's going to take him and how bad this really is.
Sweeping the dial.
A big win to close out the second round last night for Gonzaga. TCU fought with them tooth and nail down the stretch, but Drew Timmy had a massive game. And with the win, Gonzaga made it to their eighth straight Sweet 16. He was a little fired up. Maybe you can forgive him for dropping this word after the fact, but he wasn't going to be the one, as Timmy said, to let Gonzaga lose last night.
Well, before they announced our starting lineup at home, I was like, in seven straight Sweet 16s, I'm like, we could not be the team that just won up. So just to get it done and not fall under that Hypnotoads Genjutsu or whatever it is feels good, man. But they're a hell of a team.
I'm glad you bleeped that out, Mike.
Low bleep.
You low bleeped it.
I low bleeped it.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's pretty amazing. What Mark Few has done out there at Gonzaga is, you know, because really, I've said this and people get mad in Spokane, like it's out in the middle of nowhere, but it's really not. But I mean, like if you're on the East Coast or something and you go Spokane, Washington.
Yeah. They think Washington and they think Seattle,
right?
Good or bad, however you feel about it, but that's how you identify it.
Right. So, I mean, look, in basketball, you got to get, you know, if you can get two or three, like, five-star recruits, make it sound easy, every year, you know, it's easier building a basketball team than any other kind of team. But still, it's amazing that he's been able to get some of the premier players in the country out to Spokane. And he's obviously a really good coach. So I didn't really have them pick too high. I think I had him going out in this round, maybe next week. But, yeah, they're a force to be dealt with, man. I mean,
every year,
and especially you think about the coaching, and that's really something that's kind of come into, you know, we've heard all the halftime shows talking about a different style. You know, Charles Barkley's talking about being physical and things like that. And I feel like, I don't know, it was that way in the NFL too. I felt like coaching, you know, has really taken kind of a front seat, that like it's really crucial, and people have kind of gotten away from thinking that way.
Yeah. To echo what you said, the fact that they've been able to be that consistent year in, year out, especially recruiting to that area of the country and doing what I don't know. I think, you know, you're not dealing with a blue blood program. You're not dealing with Duke or North Carolina or any of those schools. And for them to do what they've done on such a consistent level is downright amazing.
Would you say they're blue blood now, though? I mean, after how many trips to the
Sweet 16?
Yeah,
does that come with NCAA titles, though, playing in the title game? You get called that. I don't know what the definition is. I just know it's always attributed to Duke and North Carolina and Kentucky and those kind of schools.
Sweeping the dial.
For the final nights of the WBC, we've talked a lot about it. We're going to talk a little bit more about it at 5:45. But it was a pretty captivating weekend for Team USA, especially Saturday night against Venezuela. Loaded Venezuela team. They were up until Trey Turner came to the plate.
The 0-2 to Turner. He throws this one deep left field. Trey Turner. Grand slam home run on an 0-2 pitch. The United States takes a 9-7 lead.
Then he hits two more last night. He's got three home runs in two games. He's just... And his new team is looking at him going, what a great investment that was, huh? Can't wait for this guy. I mean, he's not only is he putting on a show there, he's got the coolest slide in the history of baseball, as we were looking at the other night. He's just, he's a hell of a player, man. He's just a ridiculous player.
Apparently, it's easy for him.
He makes it look easy, doesn't he?
Well, and I'm curious to see, you know, we're going to have the final game, the finals tomorrow. And yeah, it's been really fun to follow this.
Yeah.
You know, you put it into perspective last night, Bob. We were talking about Jose Altuve getting hit. What if that was Julio? You would just be so
I'd be out of sorts.
Pissed.
I would be very, very upset. Yes, you're right. But since it was Jose Altuve, I feel just fine about it.
Yes, I know.
I'm at peace with it.
They're all complicit.
Yes, they are.
We know that now.
Yes, we do. Yes, we do. All right. Coming up, there are some minor injuries popping up for the Mariners. We'll break those down. Talk about one of the breakout stars of spring as well. All of that coming up as we continue live from Peoria, Arizona. It's Wyman and Bob. This is Seattle Sports on 710.